Hello, and welcome everybody to today's episode of What's Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Alia from Alia Yoga, and today's show is an incredible story of transformation that is nothing short of miraculous. My guest is a mindfulness practitioner who shares what she went through that brought her to discover these specific techniques that harness the power of the mind to navigate through trauma and life challenges that have not only helped her heal, but have also helped countless of other people resolve their emotional and mental challenges as well. Before I introduce Tiffany to you, I want to welcome you again to today's show, and thank you so much for being here. I hope you're doing well and having a wonderful day and week. I have gotten some questions and feedback from a few of you that I very much appreciate because your interaction and engagement is helping me understand what is resonating with you and what you're interested in learning more about. I'd like to thank those of you who have left a review and a rating in the iTunes podcast app as well, because that's helping me move in the direction of what you want to hear in future episodes based on what you like and what you want more of. If you haven't left a rating and review yet, it takes about 2 minutes and it's very helpful for the growth of the show. I have hour-long yoga videos available for one-time purchase on my website, and I'd like to offer you a discount code to be able to access a vinyasa yoga practice of your choice, a full-length, hour-long video with unlimited use to you for free. If you have already left a review and would like the discount code to access a free video of your choice, email me, Alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. And if you leave a review now or going forward, take a screenshot of the review and email it to me, again, Alia@aliayoga.com, and I'll respond with the discount code to access a free yoga flow video of your choice from my website. I have wise words of the week for you, where I share a quote that relates to today's episode and resonates with and inspires me. And today's quote comes from Marilyn Van Derber. Marilyn says, "All emotions, even those that are suppressed and unexpressed, have physical effects. Unexpressed emotions tend to stay in the body like small ticking time bombs. They are illness in incubation." This quote makes so much sense to me, especially given that I have experienced how suppressed and unexpressed emotions can wreak havoc on your physical body and can lead to all kinds of dis-ease from the amount of stress that unprocessed emotions have on your nervous system and other systems of the body. It's incredible how everything is connected and how things that happened in the past can continue to have an effect on your mind and body in the present. What can we do to process and let go of emotions that are suppressed? Tiffany has a bunch of suggestions for where to begin. So please stay with me through this short break and a word from Anchor, and I'll be right back to introduce you to Tiffany and share her story with you. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for sticking around. I am so excited to have Tiffany on What's Wellness Podcast today. Welcome to the show, Tiffany. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. So I'd love for you to introduce yourself. And my first question is always, what does wellness look and feel like for you personally?
Yeah. So I am now 100% in the mindset space. I'm an NLP practitioner and I do some hypnosis as well for people. Prior to that, I was in the fitness industry for 20 years. So for me, wellness is really a balance of the body, mind, and soul. I think nowadays people tend to focus a lot on nutrition or a lot on the gym. Maybe they get nutrition and the gym in, but there's not a whole lot of like spiritual attention paid. And in my personal experience, one of the reasons that I made the shift from fitness to solely in mindset was that I saw the power of what can happen and how much change we can make and just how much better we can feel when we start to, you know, work on our soul and pay attention to that more spiritual side.
That's so important. And for anyone who doesn't know what NLP is, can you explain that to us?
Yeah. So NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. Most people know it as the thing that Tony Robbins does to help his clients and people that go to his events get transformations. It's basically understanding how the mind is wired. So how our limiting beliefs become to be, how they impact what we do in everyday life, how our emotions are stored in the body, how the words that we use create the reality that we have, and whether or not we move forward and find success, or whether or not we keep repeating the same patterns over and over again, and then how all of those things combine together to create the behaviors, the habits, and the patterns that we have in everyday life.
Well said. That's so fascinating. I'm super interested in everything that has to do with our mind creating or co-creating our reality. And there's an energy to our thoughts, a frequency, and it permeates out from within us and helps to create our experience, and as well as the lens with which we perceive our life. So you work with people specifically on this?
Yes. So I work with people who find that they're stuck in self-sabotage in an area of their life. Typically, they are stuck in self-sabotage in their health. So they know they should be going to the gym, or they find themselves kind of taking the easy way out at the gym and not really pushing themselves, or they know that they shouldn't eat gluten, or they shouldn't eat dairy, or they shouldn't have this, or they shouldn't have that. And it's like magnetically, they just watch themselves do it. And then they're like, I don't even know why that happened. So helping, and so that's how it shows up in health. And then I also work with entrepreneurs who have that same self-sabotage happening where they burn themselves out. They can't set boundaries. They can't ask for help. They're perfectionists, any of those kinds of things.
Amazing. So important and so helpful for people, both health oriented and also for their careers or as entrepreneurs. We can get in our own way sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And I think what most people don't recognize is that the belief systems that get in their way now when they're adults, 95% of those limiting beliefs actually were planted in the mind between the ages of 0 and 7. And so it's actually the childhood stuff. Like, you know, when I start working with people, they always kind of roll their eyes and they're like, here we go, bringing up the childhood. It's so cliche. And like, it's cliche for a reason, because it actually plays a huge role in how we show up in the world as adults, whether we realize it or not.
So true. And I'm wondering, would you be willing to share with us a little bit about perhaps your childhood or self-limiting beliefs that you grew up with, and how this style of technique and practice has helped you, and the ways that you integrate it into your life today and for your clients?
Absolutely. So when I was, my mom and my biological dad divorced quite young. My mom left at 3 months old. He was verbally abusive and she didn't want me to grow up in that environment. Wow. And so I had two very different childhoods. I had one childhood where I was with my mom, my stepdad, and then my half brothers, and everything was awesome. And there was a lot of love and laughter. And then I had this other side of my childhood where it was the polar opposite. So my biological dad, when I was about 3 years old, he met a woman who had been, she was a domestic violence survivor, had been severely abused in her previous three marriages. Mm. And she was actually living in a women's shelter when they met. And I remember, like, when they first met, she still had some of the bruises from her last relationship. So she, you know, she was still recovering. And, she was actually the person who abused me. So growing up, I would be locked in closets. I'd be burned with curling irons. When I was seven, after years of telling me that she hated blonde haired, blue eyed girls, and I'm both, she put me in the car and threatened and drove me to the outskirts of town, told me to get out of the car, and she was going to leave me there for a stranger to come and kill. And so at the age of 7, I begged for my life. And then a couple years later was the last time I saw her. She threatened to kidnap me and I would never see my family again. And so, and I wasn't a bad kid. The thing was, is that the spotlight naturally fell on me. I loved performing. I loved being on stage. I started dancing when I was 3 years old. So I was just a natural performer. And so it was more that anytime I stood out and the attention was on me and not on her, that's when the abuse would happen. So the limiting beliefs that I developed from that was that it wasn't safe to stand out, that I wasn't good enough. My biological dad was also never around when the abuse was happening. And I didn't realize at that time, because I was like 3 to 10, I didn't realize that she was just smart enough to abuse me when he wasn't around. Mm. And so from my mind, I also then had this belief of like, one of the two people who should love me unconditionally abandoned me. And so I had all of these belief systems that I carried into everything. I stopped performing. I became super shy, developed social anxiety everywhere, was super uncomfortable in my skin, felt like the only way that I could be worthy was if I was perfect. And so I aimed for perfection in everything, which meant during high school, I also had eating disorders because I was still dancing, but I would never dance a solo. My dance studio was always trying to eat and do solos. And I was like, no, I can do a duet, but I cannot be the only one on the stage. I can't be the only one in the spotlight. So it created all these patterns of behavior where I couldn't stand out alone. I had to have other people with me. In terms of relationships, I settled in every friendship, every relationship, every business relationship, because I didn't think that I was lovable or worthy. So I would just kind of take what I could get. And that ultimately brought me to, after college, I went backpacking in Australia and I ended up living there for 8 years. And about 3 years in, 3.5 years, I'd been dating someone for 3 years. And on the day I found out I was pregnant was the day I found out that he had a girlfriend in another state. My entire life collapsed. Then I ended up losing the baby. And there was a period of time where the only way that I could see ever not feeling this intense pain anymore was if I just ended my life. And so there was a period where I was suicidal as well. And so it was really during that period that I realized like just how much our childhood does impact us. I'd been trying to sweep it under the carpet forever. I didn't want to be another girl with daddy issues. And so, you know, I just pretended that everything was okay. But then I would overexercise. I would go through phases of like binge eating and then phases of purging and starvation, all just looking for love and self-worth either through control or through food. There was a couple times where I sought it through random sex as well. Tinder came out right about the time that my miscarriage happened. And so it was like, it was an easy way to get validation from other people. Right. And so, which I also learned is in terms of wellness, very, very unhealthy. So, what NLP allowed me to do is really go back and heal those inner children, heal those scars that I had from childhood, so that I know that I don't have to be perfect. I know that I can set boundaries. And if somebody else is hurt because of my boundaries or they don't like my boundaries, that is their stuff. And I don't have to take that on. I'm also highly empathic. And so I've learned how not to take on other people's stuff, because I think as empaths, we also have a tendency to want to rescue people and save other people by taking their emotion into our body, but we can't actually take it away from other people. And so now both of us are stuck with this crappy emotion and neither of us can help anybody. And so I learned a lot of lessons through healing all of that stuff, which came because of NLP.
Wow. Unbelievable. Thank you so much for sharing being unapologetically authentic and telling us that story. Incredible, amazing, and the power of the mind to really pull yourself up from a deep and I'm sure very dark place and all the things that you had been through and the ways that, and I can relate to this, the mind can perpetuate those types of relationships or experiences based on what you're willing to tolerate, all in the name of feeling accepted or loved by someone else.
Yeah, I mean, our drive for survival is likely only matched with our drive for acceptance. And that also kind of weaves into survival, right? We know that there's safety in numbers. We know that if we're accepted to a tribe on a primal level, we're more likely to survive. And yeah. So, you know, I'm chasing this safety at the same time I'm chasing acceptance and validation from my stepdad. He's always accepted me as I'm so incredibly lucky because my mom found a man who just took me in as his own and loved me as his own from the very beginning. And so I'm so incredibly grateful for that. And at the same time, I was so blinded by my limiting beliefs that I didn't see the ways that he was showing me love. Mm-hmm. And so I would chase this perfection to show that I was good enough to be his daughter. Meanwhile, you know, he's already giving me the love and validation I'm seeking. It just didn't come in the box that I wanted. And so I missed it. Wow. And so that created a lot of anger and resentment growing up as well.
Okay. Pause for a second with me. I need to take a breath. Will you join me? Start by exhaling all the air from your lungs. Good. Breathe in. Sealed lips or open mouth, exhale. That's better. Before we continue, just a reminder that Energy Bits are amazing superfood algae tablets that give you energy and are very detoxifying. Plant-based protein and vital nutrients in every bit. Use code ALIYAYOGA for 20% off all of your bits at www.energybits.com. Where and when did you find neuro-linguistic programming along your journey?
So it was about 2 years after my miscarriage. I found a whole bunch of things that didn't work for me. I'm not saying they don't work, but they didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. I first went to counseling and therapy, spent a couple $1,000s there. And my therapist was like, "There, don't you feel so much better?" After she made super unhelpful comments like, "Wow, I'm surprised you're such a functioning member of society with all you've been through." And I was like, I realize that that is meant to make me feel better. And it really doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and then telling me after, you know, I think 5 or 6 sessions and a couple $1,000s, she was like, "There, you should feel better now." And I was like, no, all of this stuff that I had like stuffed way down deep is now floating on the surface. And her solution was, "Well, I think you need to go and you need to tell your mom and your stepdad what happened." And again, I'm an empath and I know that they've struggled with depression and anxiety my entire life. And so that conversation just created like more stuff for me to carry around than now I felt bad that they felt bad that they didn't know.
Yeah.
A friend invited me to a couple personal development workshops where there's like the loud music and the clapping and the dancing and the high fives and the hugs. And you feel really great when you're there and then you leave and you realize you don't really have any tools to live life with. I hired some life coaches and I said to all of them, you know, I have this stuff from my past that I really need to work on and to deal with. And overwhelmingly their response was, "You can't change the past. It's happened. There's no point in focusing on it anymore. Let's just move forward." And I was like, that's literally what I've done my whole life. And it has, you know, it's created some success. I've become this overachiever because of my perfectionism, but that's not the life I want to live anymore. So I'd almost kind of given up on healing in general. And a friend introduced me to NLP. And I was hooked from that moment. And I spent the next 2 years like consuming and studying and going to as many of the courses as I could just to learn it as thoroughly as I could. And then to go through my own journey.
Amazing. Good for you for taking the experiences from your childhood and your upbringing and then your experiences in Australia and the tragedy of losing a child and losing the relationship and turning it into not only the opportunity that led to the journey of your healing, but now you offer this to help others.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought initially my own transformation was incredible. And the ones that I've been able to witness over the last couple of years have been nothing short of miraculous. I was working with this one woman one day who had a life just riddled with domestic abuse and sexual abuse. And we were doing her last, what we call clearing sessions of clearing out the emotional baggage attached to people. And we were doing the last one and I looked down to take a note and I looked up and I'm not exaggerating in any way. She lost like 20 years off of her face. It was like she reversed the clock 20 years. And I was just so like, it was the first time I'd seen such an incredible transformation with somebody else that I was working with. I completely lost track of where I was in the process. And I was like, I don't even know what just happened. And then since then, I've seen everything from people reverse type 2 diabetes to finally be able to conceive a child naturally after like 5 years of failed IVF. Mm. I've seen people be able to come off of antidepressants and anti-anxieties, people overcome panic attacks that they've had since childhood, like just the most incredible transformations when people learn how to truly harness the power of their mind.
Amazing. So wonderful. I feel like I can resonate with and relate to all of what you're describing so much, given my digestive challenges and all of the work that I've done on a physical level, but I've also always known intuitively that there's an emotional component to what I experience and the suffering that I experience every day with digestion and trouble digesting food. But also it came to my mind at a certain point a few years ago, what aspects of my life, especially my childhood and some trauma that I'd been through, was I not able to digest or made me sick to my stomach? And I don't often share the details of the trauma that I've been through. I find that the details are less important than the message or the lesson or the outcome. But at the same time, I'm still on this journey. I haven't resolved my digestive challenges. They've come a long, long way, but I'm still not out of the woods. And so could you maybe walk us through a light version of what you take your clients or your patients through when they come to see you?
Yeah. So I'll give you guys some things that you can do at home on your own. And then working with me kind of takes it to the next level. So firstly, it's important to understand how we store emotion in the body. Imagine we have like a trash can and we actually only store negative emotions. Positive emotions, we can just have at any point in time. We don't have to hold on to them. So we only store unresolved negative emotions. So if we don't deal with an emotion fully, then it gets stored in the body.
That's interesting.
Now most of us have never actually learned how to deal with our emotions, right? And it's nobody's fault. Your parents didn't know, your grandparents didn't know, your teachers didn't know, because really this like spiritual awakening or even talking about mental illness is really just becoming a thing now, right?
Right.
Like we're still talking about bringing awareness to it. So for most of us, we've been taught, you know, just when I was in Australia, they had a saying where they would say like, you know, have a cup of cement and harden up, or just get over it, or just move on with your life. And like, those are kind of statements that even in America and Canada, we hear, right?
Yeah.
We hear things like, just get over it, just move on. It's over, it's done with.
Suck it up.
Yeah, similar to the things that my life coaches that I initially hired were telling me. And, you know, it's nothing against them. They just didn't have the level of knowledge, and it wasn't their specialty.
Yeah.
In that we're told, like, the past happened. You can't change it. Just move on with your life. Just keep moving forward. And all that does is it causes us to hold on. So let's say the very first time that you felt angry, you were 2 years old, your mom took you to the toy store, wouldn't buy you the toy that you wanted. Now that 2 year old doesn't have the emotional or intellectual capacity to deal with or even understand that emotion. They just know they feel an emotion in their body and they are unlikely to be able to even name it.
Right.
And I mean, even when we see kids throwing temper tantrums, what do? We shush them, right? Like, shh, that's not appropriate. We don't do that.
Yeah.
And so what happens is the body stores an imprint of how that emotion felt, where you felt it in the body and how it felt. And every time you feel how that two-year-old felt, you add more stuff to that trash can in your mind. I also, when I draw it up on a whiteboard, I draw it as like this chain. We add another link in the chain of this emotion. So we have one chain for anger. We have another one for fear. We have one for sadness. We would have one for guilt, one for shame, any negative emotion we experience, okay, we have a chain for. So then what happens is part of our psyche mentally, we partly get stuck at the age that we were when that gestalt was first created. So knowing this, it makes sense because temper tantrum or road rage is not the adult responding to sitting in traffic, to being cut off, to any of that. It's the two-year-old throwing a temper tantrum for not getting their way.
Mm.
And so what happens is we then, you've got these like sideways chains, these horizontal chains, but then you also have vertical chains that connect all of those emotions. And the vertical, what I call pillars, are all related back to a person. So you would have one relating to mom. It's not to say that your mom or your dad are terrible people. They could be the most amazing people. They're still a soul having a human experience, right? They have their own limiting beliefs, their own emotional baggage that they likely haven't dealt with that they'll inadvertently pass down.
Certainly, yes.
Then, you know, we've got siblings, we've got friends, we've got teachers, bosses, exes, all these people. So now we have like this, it's like a scaffolding or like a spider web of negative emotion that we've stored in the body. And every time we added a link to the chain, we added more garbage to our garbage can. So before most of us even hit 18 years old, our garbage can is full. And it doesn't even matter if you, you know, if you had an experience like me where you were abused, you could grow up in the quintessential American home where, you know, you sat down to dinner every night to eat together and still have stuff. What I've found is that a lot of people minimize what they went through. And I did this as well. I didn't look at what I had gone through as abuse until that was really the major aha moment that I had with my therapist, was that I had actually faced abuse. Mm. And for me, I had minimized it for so long because it wasn't as bad as what other people experienced. I still had a roof over my head. It wasn't even full time for me. It was like every second weekend, right? And so a lot of people tend to minimize the challenges that they've had because somebody else has it worse.
Yeah.
And all that does is keep us stuck in this place of not actually being able to deal with our emotions. So for the people listening and for yourself, what I would recommend doing is writing down, like, who were the people who played a role in your life? Even if you haven't thought of them for like 20 years, who were the people specifically between the ages of 0 and 7? And then write a letter to them and just dump all the negative emotion on that. And it honestly, again, it does not matter how silly it might seem that the emotion is, it's better to just get it out, right? So I could write a letter to my mom and be like, you know, I'm really angry that we went to Toys R Us that time and you wouldn't buy me that toy. And like, I was the only one on the playground at school without that toy and blah, blah, blah. Like, just put it all on that sheet of paper. And then when you're done, at the end of the letter, right, in the future, when I think of you, I want to feel. And you have two options here. One, you can either choose just to remember the good times. I recommend this with like parents and siblings and people who are still in your life. I just want to remember the good times. And, or the other option is you can say, I want to feel nothing at all. Right. So that ex that I, that cheated on me, that I had the miscarriage with, I would just say, when I think about you, I just want to feel neutral. I don't want to feel good. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel anything at all. And then sign the letter and then burn it. Now, I will say, if anybody is listening to this and they hurt themselves or they do property damage, neither of us are responsible for that. So use fire safety. I highly recommend that you do it either in a bathtub or in the kitchen sink. That way you can extinguish it if you need to. Mm-hmm. But there's something very cathartic and symbolic for the unconscious mind, which it's the unconscious mind that's holding on to this emotion. And the unconscious mind is very symbolic. And so when we see our negative emotions going up in flame, you know, flames, when whenever there's fire, it does tend to rejuvenate things, to clear out the old and allow the new to grow. And so when your old emotions that you've been holding on to for so long go up in flames, it's a very cathartic and cleansing feeling.
Transformational.
Absolutely.
Wow. Thank you for that technique and sharing that with us. I think that for myself, there's a lot of tangible ways that I can incorporate that, writing a letter, signing it, deciding to have either only good feelings or remembering the good times, or a neutral feeling for the situation when I think of it in the future. I can imagine how that creates new neural pathways, if you will, for when your mind recounts past experiences, to then either only remember the good times or have a neutral energy towards it, how that can really help to heal you over time.
Absolutely. And because you brought up neural pathways, you'll start to see that it's almost like you're walking down a path, and you'll see that before you would have gone right. And you know that right leads to self-sabotage, or that it leads to hurt, or that it leads to some sort of pain or whatever it is that you don't want. And after you do the healing and you reform these neural pathways, it's like you're walking and you could see that in the past you would have gone right, and now you have no desire to go right and you go left, even though it's foggy and you may not know what the outcome's going to be, or the path may not be fully cleared for you. It's a lot easier to take that other route because you're not working against the neural pathways that you have in your own mind.
Mm, amazing. That makes so much sense. So what about how stress impacts both the body and the mind? And what do you do about, there's no way around the stress of the day and age that we live in. How is it impacting our mind and our body? And what do we do about it?
So everything starts in thought. So when we, whenever we have a thought, that causes our body to release hormones and neurotransmitters, which can be anything from like adrenaline to cortisol. And we'll talk more specifically about those in a moment. So that hormone then causes us to feel a particular emotion. And that emotion causes us to think more of the same thoughts in the same realm. So it actually starts with starting your day with intentional positivity. Most people, they wake up in the morning, they roll over, they grab their phone, they read the news, they listen to the news, they look at Facebook, Twitter, wherever, and you cannot control, or, you know, or they look at their emails. You can't control the stimulation that's coming in there. You can't control, especially in 2020, you cannot control what kind of bad news day is going to be going on in the world, right? Or what kind of fear mongering and all this anger and fighting and whatnot that's been going on. And so starting your day with intentional positivity will help, because you're actually starting your day instead of, you know, opening your calendar and seeing that you have back-to-back meetings all day, or instead of opening Facebook and seeing two people arguing about something and then you feel that like kick of adrenaline and cortisol, which are our stress hormones, kick in, you decide to meditate, or you decide to visualize your day going really well. And that actually puts you in like a gratitude happiness loop as opposed to a stress loop. Most of us tend to spend 80% of our day in a stress loop. And so if we can start our day off with gratitude or with happiness, then that actually decreases the chance that we'll that will spend the majority of our day in stress. So what happens is when we are in stress, we release three hormones in particular: cortisol, adrenaline, and noradrenaline. Now, adrenaline and noradrenaline have automatic off switches. When they get to a certain point, a certain concentration in the body stops producing them, but cortisol doesn't. And so the only way that we can turn cortisol off is by producing either dopamine, which is what we get for achieving success. So we make our bed and we feel good about it. We go for a run and we feel good about it. We sign a new client in our business and we feel good about it. That gives you the dopamine hit. Serotonin, where 95% of that is stored in our gut and produced in our gut. And then oxytocin, our cuddle hormone. So that's the hormone that's released when we have a connection with somebody else, whether it's a hug, a handshake, you know, the corona handshake of the elbow bump in 2020, eye gazing, even just looking into somebody's eyes is enough to release oxytocin. Those shut cortisol down. Because what happens is when we have cortisol pumping through the body for a long time in high quantities, it actually leads to inflammation, which, and I'm not sure if you've talked about this in other episodes on your show with the digestive stuff that you mentioned before, but inflammation tends to happen first in the gut, which then kills our gut bacteria. And there are so many studies showing that when our gut bacteria dies, it actually causes us to have to be more likely to experience mental health conditions like depression. They've linked inflammation in the gut back to every single mental health condition, from depression and anxiety all the way up to schizophrenia. So whatever we're more prone to is more likely when we have more and more stress. So that's the impact that it has on the body.
Wow. Yes. Amazing. Very well said. And my listeners know this. I'm not sure if you do, that I was a professional tandem surfer. I was ranked fifth in the world. And so from teaching yoga and training to surf contests and doing my own exercise for mental health and I thought wellness, I was in a state of very, very high cortisol. And even, I'll admit, somewhat addicted to the feeling of the adrenaline that I got from flying 10 feet up over waves and doing all types of acrobatic tricks up there. And so I put myself into this constant state of fight or flight, the sympathetic nervous system response, which, like you were talking about with regards to a stress loop, waking up, checking my phone, checking my email, time to meditate, you know, 5, 10, 20 minutes out of an entire workday that's very, very active. I definitely have perpetuated the inflammation that, like you're saying, starts in the gut and infiltrates all of the systems of the body. Mm-hmm. I'm still working my way, clawing my way out of that. So it's a journey.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you mention an addiction to adrenaline, because there's also a lot of evidence out there that and Joe Dispenza talks a lot about this in his work, that the number one addiction in the world is actually to cortisol and to stress and to drama. Because so the way that our cortisol system should look, or our cortisol dosage should look, it's not this evil hormone. It exists for a reason. What should happen is that when we wake up in the morning, we get a spike of cortisol. That's what actually wakes us up to get us out of bed. Okay. And, you know, before people even have a cup of coffee, if they're coffee drinkers, they get this spike of cortisol, and then it should gradually decrease during the day. And then it should drop off to almost nothing in the evening, which is when melatonin, our sleepy hormone, spikes. And so people who find themselves stuck in a stress loop, or they're highly stressed, they have difficulty shutting off at night. And it's because their cortisol is still so high, and our body can't produce cortisol and melatonin at the same time. So people who are highly stressed are less likely to have a good night's sleep.
That's me to a T.
There you go. Now you know part of the issue. So yeah. The other thing is that, you know, having worked out so much, you know that our body is highly adaptive, right? If I haven't been to the gym in forever, then doing a bicep curl of 10 kilos or 10 pounds might be really heavy. But if I keep doing it and I'm consistent with it, it'll get easier and easier. It's the same thing if we are staying, if our cortisol levels are staying elevated day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, which for most of us, it has been years or possibly even decades of elevated cortisol levels. What happens is our body starts to adapt, and our body cells think that that's the new baseline of how much cortisol we need to be able to function. So, just like any other addiction, an alcoholic needs like one or two beer to be able to get up and get going, or, somebody addicted to cigarettes or whatever, they need to have a certain amount to be able to feel like they can function. Well, our body starts to feel like it needs an elevated dose of cortisol to be able to function. And so whenever, and I see this all the time, and I actually warn my clients about it, because as we start clearing out the old emotional baggage, which is actually quite heavy, and it does cause stress on our system when we're carrying around all these old emotions for so long, is they don't have this old emotion in their body creating the need for increased cortisol levels. And so they find themselves almost self-sabotaging and like creating problems in their life because their body has become so addicted to cortisol that when they're not getting it, the body will start to trick the mind into creating scenarios to produce the cortisol so it can get its daily hit. It's
Wow.
really fascinating to watch it happen.
Yeah, fascinating. That is incredible science that's being discovered and talked about more, and how it impacts the choices that we make from our activities to our careers to our relationships.
Yeah, it's in every area. And so I tell people like this, the sneakiest self-sabotage will come when you start healing things, because you have to, the last thing really that you heal is this cortisol addiction and to get it to go away.
Yeah. So right now, unavoidable stress in our lives with everything going on in the world, from the psychological standpoint of what's conscious versus what's buried in the subconscious, what do people do? What are some of the techniques that you utilize to help uncover what's being held on from the stress-oriented viewpoint? And how do you let go of those emotions or those addictions tied to cortisol and stress?
So the techniques I use with my clients is through hypnosis and meditation. So we actually put them into a trance-like state so that we can more easily access the unconscious mind. For people wanting to do this at home, or they're not ready, if they're not sure if they're ready to take that next step, my favorite technique and the one that I still use with myself with all the other techniques that I have is journaling. And not journaling on a computer, not typing it out or typing it onto your phone, but actually like getting a pen and paper and writing it out. It activates different parts of your brain and it's super cathartic. There's a book called The Artist's Way, and the book is actually about increasing your creativity. There's a really great exercise in that book called Stream of Consciousness Writing. And what you do is you sit down and you just write whatever words are in your head, and you either decide before you pick up the pen and paper, you either decide to write 3 pages or for 15 minutes, whichever comes first.
Okay.
And so you can ask yourself a question, you can just write whatever words are in there, and just get the emotion out on paper. I also recommend to all my clients that they get two journals that they carry with them every single day. One journal is a dumping journal. So as they're going about their day, if something happens that frustrates them, they pull out this dumping journal. You can scribble, you can swear, you can write furiously, whatever you want. You're just going to dump whatever negative emotion you're feeling into that journal so that you can get it out of your body. And then you can actually come back to a place of being able to be logical, because the more stressed we are, the less able we are to access the logic and the reason, the higher thinking parts of our brain. And then the second journal is your gratitude and daily wins journal. So carry that one with you. Write down the things that are going really well for you in life, things that you're really grateful for. You will never go back and read the dumping journal. It is literally like a one-time use. You can rip pages out and light them on fire as you finish them, or when you fill up the whole notebook, just throw it in the fire pit or the fireplace and just get rid of it. Whereas the gratitude journal exists to remind you that it's not a bad life. It may be just a stressful day or a, you know, a negative moment, but there are still things that we can focus on to be grateful for. And that really helps shift people out of, especially with what's going on in the world now, and there's so much fear mongering and there's so much uncertainty and everything else, it becomes even more paramount that we do the work to look after our minds so that we're not falling victim to fear mongering or to random people shouting at each other on Facebook, and we can still have our sense of calm and inner peace.
Oh, I love that. I am going to start that. Two journals, one for dumping out negative emotions and things that frustrate me, and then the other one for gratitude and affirmations and all of the positivity that, if our eyes are open to it, it surrounds us all the time.
And it's really about reprogramming the mind, because we're actually wired with what's called a negative bias. So we're naturally programmed to look for the things that could harm us or kill us. We don't live in a world anymore where saber-toothed tigers and lions are running around everywhere. And so we tend to perceive like notifications on our phone and all this other stuff as this lion or the saber-toothed tiger that could harm us or kill us. So
as a threat.
Yeah. So the gratitude practice is about rewiring your mind, rewiring the neural pathways in the mind, so that instead of your reflex being to look for the negative, the reflex is to look for what's good and what's positive.
I love that. One of the doctors that I saw for a while, a naturopath that I was seeing to treat an infection in my small intestine that we treated but unsuccessfully, she said to me, "Alia, your system is in a constant state of fight or flight or freeze, and it doesn't know if you're jogging on the beach with your dog or running from, like you said, a saber-toothed tiger." And so anytime that you're excited or up-leveled, you're in a, for me personally, in a, this state of fight or flight that's perpetuating the inflammation and helping to maintain this infection rather than helping you to get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely. The body doesn't differentiate between stress. It just knows like stress and not stress.
Yeah. Fascinating. So do you work with clients in person only or virtually, given everything going on in the country right now?
I was already mostly virtual. I've moved everything like 100% virtual. I am starting to open up some in-person options again for people who are in the area and want to work with me, but I do have virtual options and people still get incredible results that way.
I love it. Fascinating. I'm super interested in accessing deeper layers of my subconscious to shed, you know, whatever I'm still holding on to that I can let go of and further the progress on my wellness journey, on my path to healing.
Beautiful. Meditation, guided meditation will help you as well access your unconscious mind.
Absolutely. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much. A lot of valuable information. I learned a lot. Can you share with us now how people can reach out to you and find you, how to work with you if they're interested? And also, I know you have a podcast as well.
Yes. So my podcast is called Take the Leap, and it's about optimizing your mind, body, business, and life to step into your power, purpose, and potential. So that's on all the platforms, called Take the Leap. There's probably two places that are the easiest to connect with me. You can go to my website, bluelotusmind.com, or you can connect with me on Facebook. I do a lot of free training in my Facebook group, Success Secret. If you go to successsecretsgroup.com, you'll be able to join the group that way.
Okay, great. And how about, is there an email you'd like to share or your Instagram?
Yeah, so my email is tiffany@bluelotusmind, and my Instagram is just Tiffany Toombs.
Awesome. I'll link all of those in the show notes for easy navigation. And I have one more question for you today, and that is, can you share with us something that you are grateful for?
I am grateful. I am actually grateful for 2020. I think it has been the thing that was needed in terms of like the lockdowns to slow people down has been what people have needed to see that they do have stuff that they are holding on to. And there's silence and solitude has a way of bringing up that stuff for people to see. And so I've seen a lot of people starting to take their own healing, take ownership of their healing. And so I'm really grateful for that.
Beautiful. Amazing. Tiffany, you're an inspiration. Your story, the triumph over your abuse in your childhood, and being able to now create transformational experiences for others and give back in such a way where you're helping people to uncover their fullest potential. I want to thank you for doing what you're doing, and it's been an absolute honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had fun.
Oh, I was blown away by hearing Tiffany's story and how she began the journey of helping herself and helping others with mindset, awareness, and processing emotions from the past. To be able to share this type of information is such an incredible opportunity to hopefully make a positive impact in the lives of others on your way towards self-healing, be it physically, energetically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Being able to access and let go opens up endless opportunities for healing and continued progress in your journey for personal evolution. Everyone has been through something different, but the truth is, everyone has been through something. I, similar to Tiffany, was once asked by a therapist how I was able to overcome what I'd been through enough to be a positive and contributing member of society. This therapist was blown away that I could even hold a job and be in a long-term relationship, telling me that most people who have been through similar experiences as myself wind up either unable to hold a job or addicted to drugs or worse. And my response was that I never knew I had another option, that I had always been determined to not perpetuate the experiences from my past and to contribute positively to the lives of others with the time that I have on the planet. But this conversation wasn't helpful in my healing process and made me feel worse rather than better. You never know what someone's story is unless you ask, and oftentimes, the strongest people are the ones who have suffered the most at some point in their lives. Doing the inner work and processing emotions is not easy, but it builds strength. And I believe it's much more challenging to stay stuck in old patterns, believing old stories, and perpetuating the thoughts that manifest into emotions and physical experiences in your body. Doing the work is so powerful to make the choice to untangle what's in the past and move forward for a better tomorrow starting today. I hope you enjoyed today's show, as I know many people can benefit from learning mindfulness techniques and bringing awareness to old patterns of thoughts and behaviors that no longer serve you. Many times these patterns are developed as a defense mechanism, but those defenses need to come down at a certain point and be processed and let go of. Otherwise, they compound as stress on your system and can lead to dis-ease mentally, emotionally, energetically, and physically. Remember, all emotions, even those that are suppressed and unexpressed, have physical effects. Unexpressed emotions tend to stay in the body like small ticking time bombs. They are illnesses in incubation. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, or need support in any way, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or reach out to Tiffany. Get in touch with me via email, alia@aliayoga.com, spelled Ahlia. And get in touch with Tiffany as well. All of her links and contacts are in the show notes for easy navigation. If something stood out to you from today's episode, do me a favor and take a screenshot, share it on your social media, tag at Tiffany Toombs, and at Alia Yoga, as well as at What's Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be sure to reshare. And remember to check the show notes for all the links in this and past episodes for more information about the show. If I can ask another huge favor, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Help to spread the word about What's Wellness and leave a review in the iTunes podcast store so that I can bring back the warm words of the week and read your review on air. Remember to email me a screenshot of your review for free access to a full-length yoga practice from my website. Check those classes out and the CBD for purchase at aliayoga.com. Thank you once again for tuning in to What's Wellness Today, and I'll be back as always on Thursday with a brand new episode for you. Until next time, be well.